What's up, everyone? I'm Em.
And I'm Nick.
And welcome in to the Ominous Archives.
Well, that's one way to start an episode.
Just talk over the entire intro music is fine.
Yeah, that's, you know, I did that. You guys aren't going to hear that.
Aren't going to hear it because I just cut it out, but yeah. It was there. Yep. Now it's not.
I completely talked over the whole intro. Completely forgot to mute the mics and was just like, hey, how cool is it? I like this beat.
This beat. Anyway, to get into the episode, I feel like I have to give you some context here. We're sitting in the archives and it's pitch black. Nick has no power.
Yeah.
It's a candlelit episode right now.
Yep, we're running on candlelights and batteries.
And that is the vibe for this episode, yeah. And I feel like I just had to set the scene. It's a little ominous.
I think everybody... Yeah, hey. I see what you did there.
I have an interesting one for us this week.
Do you? I kind of hope it's foreign, like not from this country.
Well, we'll see. In Victoria... I'm sorry. That was... anyway. In Victorian England... Haha.
See? What I did there?
The scariest boogeyman was a fire-breathing devil man who could jump unnaturally high.
Fire-breathing devil man.
Who can jump unnaturally high. Don't forget that part.
So he's part kangaroo.
Hell yeah. Some said he was a demon, while others thought he was just an extraordinary agile human. But no matter what you believed about the legend... The Spring-Heeled Jack was a name that inspired fear among the folk.
Spring-Heeled Jack.
Yes.
That just like gives terror. My spine
it's
tingled.
It's giving terror. Ooh. It's giving scary. Yeah,
it just radiates terror.
Form of plays and references in various forms of media, but his legend still holds a bit of the original creep factor it had when it first bubbled up out of the public consciousness. Reports of the wrath that would become Spring-Heeled Jack's first started to appear in 1837. As described in historian Mike Dash's exhaustive history of the figure's reported appearances, residents of London neighborhood began to report bizarre attacks, really more like harassments, from a ghost, imp, or devil in the shape of a large white bull.
Ghost, imp, or devil.
There you go.
It kind of reminds me of the... Do you ever see Super Troopers?
No.
Oh. Well, then you
to disappoint you.
Yeah, that's one that's got to go on your watch list.
I'll put it on there.
That is a... I feel like that's like a modern cult classic.
Yeah, no.
I watch it and like everybody... We watch it in high school. There's a scene though where the one cop's in a raincoat and he calls the like local police and is like, there's a streaker or something outside. And she's like, what? And he looks and he like jumps in front of it and he like opens a trench coat. It's like, woo, and like disappears. And then like, oh my God, he's going back again. And like, it's a whole scene. But then she ends up getting like a voice changer that deepens her voice. And she takes a shotgun and she puts it against his back.
It's a whole thing.
It's a whole scene. And the scene's great. But
I'll add it to the watch list. I've never
seen
gonna
that. You're
going to have to. So the first attack happening in October 1837. Mary Stevens was walking home across Chaplin Common when an unusual figure leapt out, grabbed her, and kissed her face before tearing her clothing with claws she described as cold and clammy as those of a corpse.
Interesting.
Right? I'd be like, ew. Get away from me. Alerted by screams, passerbys disrupted the attacker, causing him to flee. Although described as perfectly sensible and not likely to suffer from hallucinations, Mary found that her story was disregarded, as were similar attacks on nearby Barnes Common. The following day brought another encounter. A cloaked man jumped in front of a carriage, causing serious injury to the driver. The man then casually leapt over a 9-foot wall whilst emitting a high-pitched cackle, which witnesses agreed was extremely unusual. Can you imagine somebody like jumps in front of your carriage, disrupts this whole thing, and then just like runs away, like menacingly cackling?
Over a 9-foot wall.
Yeah, right. I'd be pissed. Like, that's so irritating.
We ran the Tough Mudder the 1 year, and to get into the like starting area, we had to jump a 6-foot wall, and that was...
That was rough. That was, tell you.
Yeah. And we trained for it, because it's a vertical, straight-up wall. So, to scale a 9-foot wall?
Casually. Right.
Probably in like his loafers and khakis.
All while cackling. Mainly attacking women, the figure slash monster would ring a doorbell, and when someone would answer, it would ravage their clothes with its claws. Other sightings have him simply just ambushing people who were out walking.
Jerk.
Right? He's just a menace.
He's exactly a menace.
Right? Similar reports continued to trickle in throughout the rest of the year, with strange crimes being attributed to assailants in the guise of a ghost, a bear, and or a devil. These desperate reports would eventually lead to the theory that this mysterious monster might have been a group of well-to-do men dressing up and scaring people on a bet. Others reported the figure as wearing red shoes or armor.
I like the fact that he has red shoes.
Right, very specific.
Yep.
It's giving, like, a gesture. Like, mm-hmm. even like a little, like, yeah. What am I, a clown? I amuse yeah. you.
have you seen Spring Hill Jack lately? Check out those Converse.
The descriptions were all over the place and so outlandish that when these stories hit the pages of the major London papers, most of the press was rightfully skeptical. The Lord Mayor of London, John Cowan, even came out in January of 1838 to address the growing numbers of stories, bringing up the theory that the attacks were done by a gang of wealthy jerks. However, that didn't stop the legend from growing. And as the papers reported more accounts, the devilish figure came to what we now know him today as the Spring-Heeled Jack. As many of the reports involved the creep leaping in front of or away from his victims in such a way that no mortal man would be capable of. Hence
Did
the name.
Did you hear that? Boom,
yeah, what
boom,
the heck is that?
Boom.
I thought it was you hitting something. That's why I kept looking at you.
No, I thought it was me hitting something too. Unless it's, is it my hat? No. It's so weird. It was only when you were talking.
I know. I kept hearing it. I thought it was you. Like,
I don't know.
Something, so I was like, I'll just keep going.
Keep going. Maybe we picked up a ghost or something.
Literally.
Maybe Jack's coming through.
Get the freaking face.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Jack really took shape after three of his most well-known attacks.
I thought you were going to say three drinks. He really came out after
three drinks. You really couldn't tame him after three drinks. In January of 1838, barmaid Polly Adams was attacked by a cloaked like devil creature that clawed at her on Blackheath. Soon, reports from Ealing, Kensington, and Hammersmith began to pour in, with women frightened into dangerous fits, severely wounded by claws. According to an account that was widely publicized at the time, in February of 1838, Jane Aslop heard the screaming of what she thought to be a policeman saying that he had caught the Spring-Heeled Jack and that he needed help.
You can't catch Jack.
Right, you ain't catching him.
You ain't catching him.
When she brought the man a candle there in the dark street, he proceeded to breathe blue flames in her face and tear at her clothes and skin with metal claws. She ran back towards her house, but he continued to cut her with his claws until her sister came out to her rescue, scaring off the attacker.
He totally had, like, alcohol or something
right,
like that in
like
his mouth. Like, the, like, super, super flammable
yeah.
one. I don't know what proof that is, but...
I know what you mean.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Jane described Jack as having eyes like red fireballs and wearing a helmet and tight-fitting white outfit. It was a bizarre encounter and a bizarre getup, but Spring-Heeled Jack's reputation as some kind of devil grew. And that's for sure. Just days later, another attack took place in a different part of London. A girl named Lucy Scales was walking with her sister when a shadowy man jumped out and also allegedly blew blue flames into her face, causing her to have some kind of seizure. While many of the initial reports of Jack's attack took place in outlying hamlets and villages, both the Jane and Scales cases took place closer to the city and received a great deal more of attention, stoking the fires of Spring-Heeled Jack's legend. Their testimonies also informed what would become his popular look as this sort of devil-like figure.
Devil Wears Prada, kind of?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure. If that's what you
if
want.
If that's what you're going to go with?
Sure. After the attacks and attention given Spring-Heeled Jack in 1838, the figure became a popular boogeyman slash cryptid across England. He became a character in a number of cheap penny dreadfuls, many titled Spring-Heeled Jack, The Terror of London, where he was alternately portrayed as everything from a jilted brigand to a supernatural menace.
Huh.
All of these depictions just served to cement his cryptid status. Parents would tell stories of the jumping devil to scare their kids. Mysterious unsolved crimes would be attributed to Jack by sensationalist reports looking to sell papers. The elusive monster now belonged to Victorian nightmares. So honestly, like, people would just, like, chalk up anything that happened. Like, if they didn't have an answer for something that it's happened Jack. In the air, oh, it was just Jack. It was just Jack. You know.
Jack Skellington, yeah.
Right? Exactly. Eyewitness reports of Spring-Heeled Jack continued popping up all over the country. Copycat attackers were captured here and there trying to take advantage of the legend. He had a lot of copycat attackers, let me tell you. Like, a lot of men were arrested claiming to be this Spring-Heeled Jack, which is just crazy to me.
I'd bring him to a 9-foot wall and be like, jump it.
Do it.
If you're Jack, jump it.
Show me your skills, right?
Casually jump it.
Floor it. Mm-hmm. Clear it. Let's see.
Go. No? Arrested.
Right. The mischievous devil made a series of appearances at the Aldershot military base, where he harassed and terrified sentry guards in 1877. A sentry posted at Aldershot Garrison's North Camp reported seeing a man-like creature who slapped his face before cackling and leaping away.
That reminds me of the Hey Arnold episode where he's going to get beat up. Don't hit me. I'll hit me.
Like, it's just so funny. Like, he's such a menace. Like, yeah. I'm just going to slap you and then just clear this wall that's, like, abnormally large. Yeah. Like, it's just so funny. The creature evaded capture and enacted a similar encounter with the sentry overlooking the cemetery, who opened fire but hit nothing. He's too quick. You're not hitting him.
You can't hit Spring-Heeled Jack.
So, later that year, Jack was under fire again, this time from angry townsfolk in Lincoln. Again, he reportedly admitted his high-pitched cackle and made off over buildings completely unharmed.
I would like to hear somebody make this cackle.
I'd give an impression of it, but I just don't want to do that for you.
Can I cackle?
Can you cackle?
I don't know.
I'm thinking like a witch cackle, like, you know.
Maybe.
Like, very just like menacingly.
I don't know why I think of an elf.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, I think of like an elf or like a little jester with like the little hat. Like,
yeah. Well, no, that's the devil from, I was thinking of Slingo. There's the little jester for the free space. Mm-hmm. But I was thinking when the devil pops up, he's like, and you're like, oh, I lost my turn.
Oh, shit.
Now I got problems. Now I'm thinking of Bluey when they're the grannies. Oh, my coins.
Oh, my God. All right, he's quoting Bluey. We got to get back to where I am. Yeah, anyway.
Who are we talking about?
Then, in 1904, Jack made what is considered his last confirmed appearance in Liverpool, where he was witnessed leaping up and down the street before jumping onto the rooftops and bouncing away.
TTFN.
Forever.
TTFF?
Talk to you never. I'll be gone forever.
TTFF. Ta-ta forever.
Ta-ta forever. But even if official sightings of the Spring-Heeled Jack have stopped, his legend still survives. Characters inspired by Spring-Heeled Jack can be found from steampunk novels to mainstream comic books. The conspicuously Victorian air of the gaunt springing devil continues to evoke the era in which his legend grew, making him a popular template for scary stories. A little fact for you. Jack has always been a popular nickname for shady characters, but in the late 1800s, it definitely acquired a darker association with the whole Jack the Ripper murders.
Well, that was just Spring-Heeled Jack. He got bored of bouncing around.
He was like, you know what? I need to need to upgrade a little bit. I need to take it to another level. And that's interesting to me. Like, what did the Jacks ever do to you?
I don't know. Did you ever see the Jack from Titanic? He was suspicious.
Well, so who or what was Spring-Heeled Jack? The 1838 letter to the Lord Mayor had suggested a suspect from the higher ranks of life. And in his book, The Legend and the Bizarre Crimes of the Spring-Heeled Jack, author Peter Hanning suggests the culprit was Marquis of Waterford, who at the time was a well-known practical joker.
How do you casually just jump over things that tall?
Right. I'm not seeing that. Like, you have to be some kind of like supernatural. You can't just do that.
Unless like it really wasn't. He struggled to get over it.
Right.
And like for those people, they're like, oh, he just casually jumped. Like, I couldn't jump over a 9-foot wall. No shot. And he casually just did it.
Right. The most plausible and most boring explanation is that Spring-Heeled Jack was an example of shared or collective delusion. But, like I said, that's boring. So there's an extremely far-out theory that I read, and that's a suggestion that Spring-Heeled Jack was an extraterrestrial spaceman. Now, just hear me out. I know I sound crazy, but there's something to this.
I think you sound perfectly fine. This is I think it's an excellent explanation. It doesn't, Ouija board doesn't fit here, so.
Okay, perfect. So hear me out. The helmet and strange costume were his spacesuit, and his huge, big, powerful leaps were obviously evidence that he came from a planet with higher gravity than Earth.
So he was lighter when he got to Earth?
Who knows, maybe.
Can you explain that science?
I'm not a scientist. One of the earliest proponents of the spaceman theory was a British actor, Valentin Dwall, in 1954 article for Everybody's Magazine, in which he argued, "It is significant that a high proportion of those who saw Springfield Jack were convinced that he was not of this world, but either a spirit or a visitor from some distant planet." This suggestion was taken up by a correspondent of the magazine who contended that a being reared on a planet where gravity was far greater than on Earth would be able to leap colossal distances on this planet. I suggest that the alleged monster was a visitant from space who had been marooned.
What's a visitant?
Beats me, I don't know. That's what they said. Well, I'm assuming we're not saying that he was like an alien.
Yeah.
So he was just someone else from another planet.
Yeah.
Which I guess in turn would be an alien.
Maybe he was the original Phil of the future.
Maybe.
I guess we'll never know.
Like I said, in all serious, that's literally my next sentence. In all serious, we'll never know. But we do know how much I love a good cryptid. So when I came across this one that I have heard of but didn't know everything about, I thought, duh, what a great place to talk about it than the archives.
Yeah. I mean, who doesn't love? I love the can't explains.
Yeah, right. Like, just the unknown.
You're never going to know. You just
right, like,
you
I
don't
love
know.
The one that's like, oh, our only explanation is like maybe mass hysteria or mass delusion. I don't know. Right. Like, what do you mean?
Well, there was that dancing death or death dancing or whatever
it
was.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
We'll cover it one day.
Yeah, that's a fun one for sure.
Well, and you were a dancer, so.
Yeah.
You'll cover it.
I'll get there.
I just nominated him for that.
I'll do it.
Yeah,
I thought that one was interesting. I love the British. I feel like I had to talk about that.
We love Britain.
I had to talk about them.
I haven't been there yet. No. We're going to get there. Italy. Mm-hmm. We're close. Mm-hmm. We're actually supposed to land. Our first time trying to go there, we were supposed to land in Britain.
Our first time.
And that's a long story that you guys do not have time for.
No,
but
nobody's got time for
that.
Yeah,
we were supposed to land in, I think we were going to have a day in Britain.
Oh.
And then
you could have seen COVID. Jack.
Maybe, yeah.
Maybe you would have run into him.
Yeah. And, yeah, it was Britain to Venice, or not Venice, Britain to Rome. So, could have run in the Jack, but didn't.
Missed opportunity. Yeah, that's all I got. That's all for me.
It's all for you.
Yeah.
That's all, folks. I think that's trademarked.
Probably.
All right, well, I take that back.
We're going to get copyrighted.
I did not mean that.
I take it back.
Yeah, things that, like, I don't know. I wonder, do you think all other podcasters, like, look that stuff up?
I mean, maybe.
You know?
Like, if they're saying it, like, I don't know.
Like, part of me is, like, I wonder if you try to use it as in, like, a sign-off or something.
Yeah.
But if,
like,
you were
I'm
just
sure
clowning around.
Ballin has Strange, Dark, and Mysterious trademarks. Like, he'd be silly not to.
Yeah.
It's, like, it's his whole shtick.
Yeah. But can you trademark words?
Yes. Absolutely, you can. Taylor Swift does it literally all the time. It's ridiculous. I think you can, but like you have to have like, you know, has to be yours. It's also probably different.
I don't know.
Like
if somebody knows that stuff, they should reach out and let us know.
Yeah, somebody, if you know the copyright laws, let us know.
Yeah. Kind of, well, isn't trademarking copyright?
Trademarking, copyright laws.
They're definitely
different. They are
different. They're the same, but different.
If you know anything about any of
yeah. Email us at
ominousarchives@gmail.com.
And if you feel like following us on social media,
The Ominous Archives on all platforms.
Yeah, except Facebook.
Except for Placebook. Nobody really
uses
that.
I don't think anybody has Placebook anymore. Also, go check out Sam at ScareMeSam.com.
Yes, her website.
And her podcast, Scare Me Sam. I just finished The Lost Apothecary that she talked about.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's definitely got a good twist at the end.
Ooh.
It's like two twists. You twist one way and then you twist back.
Love.
It's like
a double twist.
Yeah, it's like a whoo. Like, whoa. So,
whoa.
Definitely good. I liked it. And apparently they're coming out with the second one.
Fun.
Yeah. So, anyway, on that note, I think we should get out of here. Our batteries are running low. Our candles are burning out. And
it's got no power still.
No power. No ETA when power's coming back on. So, guys, don't forget to come back next week as we dive into more strange and haunted stories in the Ominous Archives. See ya.